Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out, Jeff, at beekeepingfornewbies.com. Well, folks, here we are. It is December 24th, 2024. We are rolling right into Christmas tomorrow. Now, I don't like to say the MC today because we do have a family member in my immediate family celebrating their birthday today. So I'm going to hold off on the Merry Christmases until tomorrow. But I did want to make sure I hopped on today for one last time before we get into the latter part of December here and tell everybody thank you and to recognize how much I appreciate all of you listening and the support for all the many years and for another year of growth. And it's been a good time. It's been a challenging year, a lot of obstacles, but next year is hands down going to be the best. It's going to be a really, really exciting B year. So I'm looking forward to that. So today we are talking about episode 121, and it's finding a mentor. Now, back in episode 43, we discussed mentors and mentees, how to be good at both. This is going to be a little bit different. This is very specifically targeting what you should be looking for in a mentor, where you should find them, how you should find them, and some alternative approaches here. So having a mentor is something that can really accelerate your growth as a beekeeper. And you know, having someone that provides that level of guidance and experience, it really can help you avoid a lot of the mistakes that I made when I first started out. And it can really be a big confidence booster for you, like as you progress, you know, throughout your journey. But how do you find one? What makes one good? You know, what's the process? What does that look like? So we're going to break that down for you. So one of the first, best, and easiest ways to find a mentor is through a local bee club. That's where I would recommend starting with. Or association or whatever they call themselves. Most of those areas have some kind of a mentoring program, and hopefully they're at least fairly active, you know, where they're having monthly meetings, some kind of workshops, field days, you know, opportunities where you can get a chance to experience some, you know, some level of beekeeping just by virtue of being in the club. You know, I think the club I'm in, like I've said a million times, I don't participate. It's not that I don't want to. It's not that they aren't good people. I've got a lot going on there. You know, it's an hour round trip to go out there for the meetings. You know, maybe one of these days I'll get it together. It's 100% on me to prioritize it, and I'm not right now. But I know they do a thing where you can sign up and you can go get some training. You can, you know, show up and go to so-and-so's bee yard on a certain day, and they'll walk you through a bunch of stuff. It's a great way to really kind of dip your toe in, because I have a video I'm working on. I'm probably about halfway done with all the details of it, but It's a breakdown of how expensive beekeeping is. And there are a lot of hidden expenses and things you don't think about. Like you think, oh, okay, I can buy a package of bees and they're going to show up at my house for $150. Cool, that's not too expensive. Literally multiply that times 10. And like I said, that video is going to break it all down for you and you have a better understanding of that. But a club can be a real goldmine of expertise and people who are, you know, they're... It's a wide range, really, but you're going to get some people who are retired. They're hanging out. They have a small little farm or a little homestead, and beekeeping is just a fun little hobby for them. And they've been doing it in that area for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Going to somebody, and you've heard me say this, you know, several times, where I'm going to tell you all the things I know about how I beekeep where I am. I'm going to tell you about things that people tell me about their tips and tricks for places where they are. Your area is going to be different. This is the place where you can find some of those people. Now, as I always tell you, you do have to take things with a grain of salt. You know, sometimes, I don't know what it is about the beekeeping world, but there is a lot of misinformation in there. And I tell people, fact check me, fact check everybody, ask multiple people the same question and really kind of dig and see if there's consistency, where the discrepancies are, challenge people too. Do it in a respectful way and say, hey, we talked the other day and you said this. I talked to Jim over here. He said something different. Can you kind of help me wrap my arms around that? I've had many times where I've thought something based on what I was told, did a little more research and realized I was wrong. I have no problems, issues, reservations about being wrong, being corrected. It's all a matter of how you deliver it and being professional. And that's all I would ask. And I think that's pretty fair for anybody. But, you know, you're going to have that at the B Club. You're going to have any organization you're a member of is going to have personalities. You're going to have the people who are just really, really amazing. You know, just ask them, they'll tell you, right? You have those kind of people. You have some people that are really quiet and reserved and are a wealth of knowledge, but won't say anything unless you specifically ask for it. All kinds of personalities. The more outgoing you're willing to be, the more you're going to learn. Now, some of the big benefits to having a mentor is clearly, I mean, one of the obvious ones is getting that hands-on experience. Like, I can show you a video, and I'm working on several scripts and things right now for that, but I can show you a video and say, this is how I do something. And you can send me a video of you doing what I just told you to do, and I can be like, yeah, that looks great. But if I'm standing next to you, and I lean over your shoulder, and I can see your actual fingertips, and I can say, ooh, actually, be really, really careful, because right there is a couple of bees coming up on the bottom side of that frame. I can't see that in the video, but I can see it when I'm standing right next to you. Or if I say, okay, I'm going to demonstrate how this is done, and then I go through and I show you, and I say, okay, now you try it. And then you can say, well, I heard you say this, but how do I do that part? And then I can show you again, right? That hands-on, face-to-face, one-on-one interaction, honestly, 30 minutes with the mentor, hands-on in your backyard or their backyard, is worth like 2 or 3 days of researching things online. So getting that hands-on, the networking, you know, that beekeeper who is your assigned mentor, they probably know 10, 20, 30 beekeepers in the area who, if they don't know something, they can go, you know, hey, Kim, I was talking with this new mentee that I have, and they asked a question. I don't know. What do you think? And Kim's like, oh, yeah, I saw that last year. Very common. So again, it becomes like any other profession or hobby or whatever. There's a network involved. And it behooves you to become a part of that network to accelerate your learning. Now, alternatively, a lot of people are like, I don't want to do it. I want to stay home. I don't feel good. I don't want to go out. I can't go out. Whatever it might be, there are tons and tons of online resources. So you can go to, you know, Facebook groups, Reddit communities, other online forums. You know, as always, I would tell you to exercise extreme caution when you're just randomly meeting people you meet on Facebook. And I think it's really rare and unusual, but you could have somebody on there that's like, oh, yeah, coming out to my rural place in the middle of wherever and check out my beehives. And you get there and there's the kid with no teeth and the banjo. And you're like, I'm probably in the wrong place. Right. You don't want to have that happen. And I'm not saying anything against banjo players, but you'd have to see the movie to know what I'm talking about. But online groups like that, they're great resources. But it's really tough, too, because I can go online, create an account and be like, you know, hi, I'm Mike, and I've been beekeeping for 30 years. And so people, oh, okay, cool. Well, Mike knows what's going on. Some people could probably see through whatever this person is saying pretty quickly. But if you're new, you might think, well, guy's been doing it for 30 years. He must know something. This could be like a 12-year-old kid just messing around. Like you don't know what you're getting all the time. So just things to kind of keep in mind. As an alternative, I always tell people when all else fails, you can definitely reach out to me. I mean, I'm not, you know, you don't have to pay me for an email membership or whatever. Send me an email whenever you want. If I'm sitting at the laptop, like my laptop's open right now while I'm recording, my email is right behind it. As soon as I wrap up and I press the, you know, turn off the record button, I'm in email. So if you message me now, I'm going to respond within the hour. If it's, you know, middle of the day and I'm doing other things, you're generally going to get a response to me within 6 hours. If you have something that you've done or you're doing or you're looking at and you're like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do with this, and you want to take a video, post it somewhere, send me a link and say, hey, can you check this out? The only thing I would ask for you is make it as bright as you can and get as close to it as you can. I do have a red-green color deficiency, and I don't see colors as super well as everybody else. So if I'm not right there with a lot of light, it's kind of tricky for me to see a lot of the contrast. But again, I will happily look at something like that. You know, I'm not going to bill you for it or anything like that. Now, there is a thing you can do if you go to the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage and you're in a bind. There is a pop-up that says, hey, schedule some time to call me. we can absolutely schedule a call. That's a little bit more formal. But if you were like, hey, I want some one-on-one coaching or some real specific things about a problem I'm having that's an emergency or whatever, that's a pretty good way to get a hold of me. But I mean, that's the only thing that I would, you know, have any fee for. Everything else is just shoot me an email, go in the Discord room. You know, again, if my laptop's open, the Discord is open. So if you send a message and I see it, just make sure to at message me, because that way it sends an alert to my phone and it pops up with a little sound and it puts a number, little number on the Discord icon, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But again, always feel free to use me as much as you can. If it's too much and I can't handle it, I'll tell you like, hey, I've got a lot going on. My responses are probably going to be delayed. So in addition to the act of just trying to track down a mentor, you kind of still have a little bit more work you got to do. It's not just about, oh, cool, this person has 20 years of experience, I'm going to pick them. It's finding someone who, it's a two-way thing, right? You have to understand people and personalities, and you have to also want to find somebody who understands how to teach. Just because somebody is great at something doesn't mean they can teach it. So finding that person who has the ability to communicate clearly and they can kind of align their teaching style with the learning approach or the learning needs, you know, of their student, that's really important. It took me many years because, I mean, I taught young, you know, when I was a young soldier, I was teaching other young soldiers in the Army. When I was a paramedic, I was teaching, you know, EMT basics, medics, and I was teaching paramedic classes. It took me a while to start to recognize, you know, the faces that people make when they have no idea what's going on, and learning how to break things down and find examples that work for people. So, you know, there's some questions you want to ask this potential mentor, and you got to do it in the right way too, because sometimes, you know, if people feel like they're being interviewed or that their credentials are being questioned, you know, that can be a bit of a turnoff for them too. So try to make things nice and casual. And, you know, so I would say if you're hanging out with this new mentor that's been assigned to you, because they're not going to just say, hey, we're going to give you four names, just start calling people and tell us which one you want. Like, they're going to assign somebody. So somebody at the B Club is going to say, okay, you know, Randy, I need you to go, you know, meet with Mike and be his mentor. And that's kind of the way it's going to be. I guess Mike could complain enough and be like, oh yeah, Randy's mean or whatever. The things I would ask are, again, very conversational. So let's say, for example, that that person invites you over to their B yard. So you go over and you're like, hey, how's it going? It's good to meet you. Yeah, just start talking, let them kind of take the lead, let them tell you what they think is important, and, you know, give them a chance to kind of express whatever's on their mind, and then say, you know, hey, so how long have you been beekeeping? And they're like, oh, you know, I've been doing this for so many years. You're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Do you mentor a lot of other people, or am I kind of the only one you're working with? Or, you know, and just see how much they're willing to tell you. You know, it's like, oh, so do you mentor people every year, or is this your first year? Like, what, how long have you been doing this? Because I feel like it'd be really tough teaching all these brand new people who don't know anything. You know, just find a way to make it, you know, into a conversation. And then, of course, it's always, you know, hey, what inspired you? Like, what motivated you to become a mentor? Because some people, it's like, I don't want anything to do with that. They want nothing to do with teaching, educating, dealing with new beekeepers. But the bee club was begging them to do it, and they need more mentors. And it's like, ah, okay, I'll do it. That's not the mentor you want. I've had that mentor before. That was the one that I first got when I first signed up at the bee club years ago. And they were like, and the person was like 3 miles away. And they were like, well, you know, I mean, I guess we'll figure something out. And I was like, oh, come on now. Understanding, you know, what their approach is and seeing how much of that they can communicate to you. Some people might say like, yeah, I mean, I'd love to be your mentor. Just call me when you're out in the bee yard and, you know, talk me through what you're doing. Oh, okay. So you're a virtual mentor. Like, or do they want to do both? Right. Because I can see a scenario where if you have a good mentor and they drop by, they say, okay, look, in the spring, I'm going to come by every other week and I'm going to hang out with you. And the weeks in between, you're going to do the inspection and then you're going to call me and tell me how it went. And we're going to keep a running log and we're going to keep some notes. And, you know, finding a mentor that's organized and wants to be involved and wants to participate, wants to engage with you, those things are all pretty, you know, pretty good telltale positive signs. And another question might be like, hey, you know, potential new mentor here, I'm really new and I'm an inquisitive person. I like to answer or ask a lot of questions. Are you cool with me calling, emailing, texting, you know, like in between our sessions or whatever? How much engagement with me gets to a point where it's problematic for you. I know how I am. Like, once I want to learn, I mean, I'm all in and I will just go nuts. And that's all I will focus on until I feel like I've mastered something, which is why I'm still spending 10, 12 hours a day with B stuff, because it just seems like the learning never ends. But sidebar there. And then the other part, you know, is, of course, is availability. If they're mentoring five other people, where do you fit into that picture? Now, it may very well be that every other weekend they're seeing two people per day, right? So they're mentoring two people Saturday, two on Sunday every week, and they're on some kind of rotation or whatever it might be. But does that person even have time to really effectively be a good mentor to me? And I think with anything, and you know, there's so much overlap with beekeeping and being a mentor and mentee and these things. There's a lot of overlap with a lot of other things in life, but just putting things on the table early around expectations. Okay, so you're my mentor and you're going to teach me stuff. What are your expectations of me? Like, when you come here to my house and you're helping me install my new package of bees, are you expecting me to send you a follow-up email later on with status updates every 3 days? Do you want me to just wait till I hear from you? Like, what's the best way to keep some cohesion, you know, in our dialogue and in our processes and how we're working together? And then also knowing, you know, are there specific tools or materials or certain things that you want me to do before I even start? As an example, I'm your mentor now. And you're like, hey, Jeff, can you come over on Saturday? And I'm like, yep, let's do Saturday. That's perfect. Before I get there, I need to make sure you've got all of your protective gear. So you at least need to have a veil. You need a hive tool. If you're wearing gloves, you need your gloves. Boom, 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 down the list. As a mentor, I need to convey to you what my expectations are of you to have for that first meeting. And also, I believe as the mentor, when we wrap up, I say, okay, let's do a review of everything we did today. So we talked about your protective gear when I first got here. Everything looked good. You may want to check that hole in the back of the veil. It's not a big one, but bees may find a way in. You know, your hive location, I know you chose that before I was assigned to you. I don't think it's the best location in your yard, but I think it'll be okay for now. So here's what I want you to do to make that location better, just based on what's there. And we're going to talk about that. Okay, we reviewed this, we did this, we did that. Now, what I'd like you to do is I want you to come back out here in about 3 days and take a look at the hive, take a picture, maybe a video, send me those, and give me like a one paragraph write-up. Tell me what you see, how many bees that you're seeing coming in and out within a minute, anything that looks out of the ordinary to you. And I know that that's very tough as a new beekeeper, but as you look at the hives and you see the bees more and more and more, you will begin to learn what normal looks like. As a new beekeeper, I always tell people, don't get hung up on trying to figure out all the things that can go wrong and what it looks like. Become an expert at knowing what normal looks like so that you can at least know when something is wrong and get help to figure it out. So another good question you could ask a mentor might be like, you know, what are the most common challenges that your mentees face and how do you help them overcome those challenges? And, you know, what do you foresee in mentoring me specifically, or do you have anything that you can see based on our initial discussion or our first time together that is a concern for you? And again, remember, you're not just peppering them with questions. You kind of got to find a way to make it conversational as much as you can. But even asking them like, hey, you know, you mentioned you've been doing, you know, beekeeping for 15 years and mentoring for the last five. You know, I'm still kind of, yeah, I'm running a little low on my confidence here. Can you share any stories or examples with me of a mentee you had where they were scared and awkward like me and you came in and kind of saved the day and, you know, showed them the light? And just have a little bit of lighthearted fun with the way you present it and make it just, you know, friendly and see what they say. And you can always go with the standard like, hey, if you were to define a perfect mentor-mentee relationship, you know, what would that look like to you? Like, how would you describe that? Because the better, it goes back to that expectation management that we talked about, the better that you set and lay out those expectations early, I think the happier and the more successful and more likely to be successful that everybody's going to be. And then it's always fun, too, if they have any, you know, as the conversation develops a little bit, saying like, hey, is there anything that you do in beekeeping that's kind of like a specialty niche thing? Like, you know, with beekeeping, there's a lot of broad subjects and things that everybody does. Like, everybody has to paint their stuff. Everybody has to assemble gear. Everybody has to do inspections. Everybody has to do some kind of pest management. But beyond that, like me, I don't take a lot of honey. I take specific amounts of honey from certain hives, and the rest of it I leave behind for, you know, spring nukes to make sure they can overwinter. My focus has always been on genetics and letting the bees do what they got to do with me taking minimal. That's completely different from when you're on the commercial side of things and you are doing pollination, and that it's a whole different approach to everything. But I'm definitely not a honey specialist because it's not what I do every day. I can do some queen rearing. I can talk to you about cell builders and grafting and, you know, run you through that. So finding out what that mentor is really good at, like, and they may say like, oh my gosh, my wife and I, a guy in the Discord room mentioned today about, he's done a lot of honey extraction this year, but his wife just made a bunch of wax products and lip balm and stuff. Like, that's really cool. But if you're really good at that, that's a specialty that you can pass on to people in the bee club, but you can pass that on to your mentees too. You can be like, hey, I'm not an expert in all things beekeeping, but if you ever want to make some lip balm, you know, we have a formula that's pretty good and I can teach you how to do that. So knowing what your mentor is a specialist at can certainly be helpful and beneficial to you. And I would say one of the last things here in the list is, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but getting second and third opinions. If you said to me like, hey, Jeff, what's the best way to do whatever? Like, I'm going to say, well, when I'm in my bee yard, this is what I do. And if you're like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. I don't have an expectation that, I mean, so here's where it's challenging. When you get to know somebody and you start to trust them and you're like, man, this person's amazing. Like, you, it almost becomes just implied trust for everything. And you're just like, oh, cool, cool. And then you hit that one thing where you're like, that didn't work out so well. Maybe they weren't right. And that's tough in beekeeping because, again, there's some things that are just always happening in that same way and some things are not. But if you said to me like, hey, Jeff, man, you told me the other day that I should do it this way. I actually asked four other people. They all said the same thing and it wasn't the way that you said. That's where I'm going to say, well, it sounds like you got a couple of options. Review it with me again and make sure I understand everything clearly. And they explain it again. And I go, no, I'm sticking with my position. I believe this is the way to do it. Well, maybe that person has six hives. Well, do two of them one way, four of them the way that the majority of the people wanted to do them, or do five in one, or just do majority rules. You know, those are decisions you're going to have to make as a beekeeper to what's right for you. And then you might come back and be like, hey, Jeff, remember that thing that you told me that you were pretty adamant about? And I'll be like, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, the other people were right. Please tell me. Like, tell me, because we all are going to learn from each other. We all have an opportunity to share experiences and different ways. And there are things that I did. I can think of probably seven or eight examples right now off the top of my head. But there are things I've done over the years where I did them one way. And people have been like, we don't do that at all over here. And I'm like, well, you're nuts. I mean, I wouldn't say like, but I'm thinking to myself, what are these people doing? And then I would go and try it. And I'd be like, wow, like, that's really interesting. It may not be necessarily right for me, but it's not bad. So be open-minded, you know. But again, if you said to me, like, I'm getting opinions from other people, I'm like, awesome, that's good. Because now I don't have to go ask anybody. I don't have to confirm with anybody. You're going to do it for me. If I don't hear back from you, my hope is that you're getting consistent information and you're able to go forth. But if you're not, let me know. And like I said before, you know, when in doubt, just do what I say. It's going to be fine. Now, anyway, this is a really important one. And gauging the response of your mentor. Like, if your mentor says, well, Christine, the best way to do this is boom, boom, boom. And then you go, oh, okay, cool. And then you come back and you're like, hey, I reached out to this guy who does a podcast. I asked him a question. His answer was really different from yours. And I'm wondering if you can help me kind of reconcile that. See how they react. The reaction should be, oh, okay, well, what did they say? Oh, well, that's an interesting perspective. I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah, they might be right. Or to say, well, I can see why they might think that. Here's why I think that my way is right. Maybe we can try a hybrid of the two, right? A good mentor will be like, oh, okay, cool. And we'll take that and want to bring that feedback into the work that you're doing together. So that's definitely something to be mindful of and to pay attention to. But I would also say, you know, do the best to kind of respect the system that they have in place. If they have something that's working and it's working in that area, you know, respect that. I mean, I would definitely avoid comments like, well, you know, so-and-so said I should do this, or, well, Jeff over at Beekeeping for Newbies says that we should always do it this way. Be respectful, avoid creating unnecessary conflict, and just make a lot of notes. I'm telling you, notes are huge because it's a great way, aside from all the obvious reasons that they're great, but it's a great way to bring something up with your mentor that they may be wrong on. So you're like, hey, Jim, so I wrote this down from last week, and you said that when I'm managing my two queens, and then Jim's like, what? Two queens? And you're like, yeah, I wrote it down exactly as you said it. You said both of the queens. And that gives Jim a chance to be like, oh my gosh, whoa, that's not what I meant to say at all. I must have misspoke. I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe I was talking about during a swarm, you had a potential that you could have two queens in the hive at the same time. And you're like, oh, okay, I missed what you said. But taking notes allows you to have something that you have in front of you. You remember it. You can now go back and say, hey, can you help me clarify? They see you wrote it down, so they're thinking, geez, maybe I did say that. But it just has a good way of keeping questions organized, but it's also a great way to take something, because I will not remember. If you took me as a brand new beekeeper and you went through all of the stuff that I would go through when I'm working with a mentee the first time, I'm remembering maybe 10%. There is so much going on, and I'm going to say 9 out of 10 people, the one thing on their mind the first time they're out there messing with the hive, I don't want to get stung. 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 Their mind is so wrapped up on getting stung and the pain that it can be really, really distracting, and it can definitely inhibit your ability to create new memories. So write things down, make notes. And you know, another thing too, I've got this thing, and it was really cheap on Amazon. It is a recording device. It has a lightning port that plugs right into my phone. They have the same ones available with USB-C if you have an Android or a different device. And then it has a clip-on mic that, you know, you just clip onto your shirt or whatever. And I would just say to them, like, hey, are you okay if I use this recording device? Because you put it in your iPhone and plug it in and hit the record button, like a voice memo. And this thing records great. I do it for YouTube videos. I do it for other kind of things. I've done it on the podcast before when I've been outside. Having something like that allows you to record what's going on, and then you can play it back later, and you don't even have to worry about notes necessarily. Or you can even take the file, run the file through like a MP3 to text converter and do a transcription of it and transcribe that whole discussion. And now you've got written notes you can index and make searchable. There's so many different things that you could do with that, but that's not a bad way to go at all. And it saves you time. And of course, when you're wearing big goofy gloves and trying to protect yourself, making notes isn't always the easiest thing to do. I've had those things hooked in and they run for hours for me. So if you need any info tracking that down, just send me a message and I'll send you a link to what I got. So to wrap up for the day, folks, a good mentor can absolutely make or break a new beekeeper. They can make all the difference, but it's definitely a two-way street. Make sure that you're asking thoughtful questions. Seek second and third opinions, multiple opinions. Be respectful of their advice. And remember that mentorship, it can come from multiple sources, right? It can be a designated mentor at the Bee Club. You can have online groups. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to people in our Discord room. You can definitely leverage lots of different sources to create a whole kind of mentor package. So, you know, explore things, keep your options open, you know, be creative. And well, I think that's going to wrap us up for the day, everybody. Again, it's December 24th. Not going to say the other thing because it is a birthday today, but maybe I might even be on tomorrow because I've got notes right here. Episode 122, preparing your yard and apiary for beekeeping. That's part of a new series we're working on. I've got episodes about different types of hives. This is one that's been popular for a while with Langstroth and Waré and Top Bar and some of those things, bee barns and all of that. I've got episode 123 ready. We're talking some more about some Varroa stuff going on. Episode 124 notes are here. I may combine 124 and 125 together. So we got a lot of stuff going on. But all right, everybody, take care, be kind to one another, and remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.